From Santa Barbara, California, Timeless Voyager Radio with Bruce Stephen Holmes. Self-development radio for the open mind. Interviews with leading-edge authors and speakers in the fields of environmental issues, alternative health care, new psychology, psychic phenomena, UFOs, and extraterrestrial encounters. And now, Bruce Stephen Holmes for Timeless Voyager Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Bruce Stephen Holmes for Timeless Voyager Radio, and my guest today is Iris Clark. She is an author and a speaker, and as a matter of fact, a teacher who has a number of groups that study the Keys of Enoch, and we're going to talk more about that. It's a book by J.J. Hertak. She is a writer, has, as I said, is an author, has written a book called Forever Young and also Long Line Writers. Welcome to the show, Iris Clark.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to be on it. I'm right now teaching the Keys of Enoch. I had been an assistant to a teacher, but now I have the class myself. And I have staffed two others. We do mantras and we do singing, chanting, which is very important. Music is a big part of our teaching. We also, in this wonderful, wonderful book, Keys of Enoch, or the Book of Knowledge, learn who we were in the beginning and where we are now, and where we are going in the future. I've been associated with this group for 10 years, and I am the oldest, well, according to Dr. Hertak, I am the oldest and most eloquent writer and teacher of the Keys of Enoch worldwide, and that is because I have reached almost the ultimate goal of a century, lacking a couple of years, and I'm still active. I have my license and drive my own car, I have a cleaning woman, but a couple of times a month, but I look after myself completely, which most people think is quite a chore. At least I've never had to go to a rest home or anything like that. They keep busy all the time, have a large acquaintance, and I might say following, so I don't have much time to myself. And this is my life, the way I live it here in Sedona. In Sedona, as you probably know, it's the only place on the planet that has seven vortices. People come here from all over the world to experience the vibrations of these vortices. At first, when I came here, I didn't know. I visited here first several times, and I didn't know what it was, the attraction was. And then finally, when I came the last time, which was the third time for a visit, I discovered that it was these vortices, that it's like a magnet. It brings you back. And at that time, I lived in Santa Barbara, California, and I thought that was the most beautiful city in the world, and I didn't think I'd ever leave. But there's something over here. I think it's ancient heritage, too, and that may be the reason for the vortices. At one time, in ages past, this was most eastern part of Lemuria, a part of the planet that went down. I don't know whether it was by flood or fire, but I think it was by flood, because later on Atlantis went down by a flood. But this is one of the oldest sacred spots on the planet from ancient times. And it's as though the eagles are coming back gathering, and perhaps that was one of the reasons that I felt that I just had to come back over here to Nona. I've been here 12 years, but I probably should tell you something about the Keys of Enoch.
You have met Dr. Hertak, haven't you?
Oh, yes, I have. I've had him here for Big Breakfast 3 times when he had, each time he had a seminar here in Sedona. He has it every other year. And I always have a breakfast, a plantation breakfast. And we had the last one on October the 3rd this year. And there were 30 people. Now, I don't have a large house, but we had 2 tables out on the deck, and the rest of the card tables here in the house and living room besides the dining room. And, yes, I know him quite well.
Maybe you could tell us, since you've spoken to him, and of course you have read the book quite, incidentally, for those of you who are interested, this is a very difficult book to read, but, well, it's been difficult for me. Why don't we start with just the introduction? How did Dr. Hertak write this book?
Oh, that's very interesting. He had a chair in a university I'm not sure whether it was Berkeley or where it was, but it was over in California. And he was a teacher of Oriental languages. Now, I don't know how many languages he's familiar with, but probably 13 or 16, something like that. And he was a very devout man. I think he was probably in his early 30s when he prayed to understand what life was all about, and he sought diligently everywhere to understand why we were here, what we were here for, and his origin and his destiny. And suddenly Enoch, the patriarch Enoch, the father of Methuselah, and the grandfather of Noah, of the flood legend, well, Enoch appeared to him and said, "Are you ready?" And, of course, he was, and Enoch took him in a scout ship, I would say, that took him to a Merkabah, which is like a city of light, a large mother spaceship. And then from there they went to the higher dimension, into what we would call the seventh level. It might be called the ninth dimension, something like that, because you have to understand dimensions to understand how this can all come about. And when you go from one dimension into another, there is a significant change in your atomic structure. So he laid aside his outer body. I should explain that we have 5 subtle bodies. And in these other bodies, the bodies that you go out in your dreams with, and you experience all those things and they seem real. Well, he laid aside his physical body automatically and then went into this higher dimension. And he was introduced to, first, to Melchizedek. The order of Melchizedek is an everlasting order, and it's spoken of in the Bible, in Genesis, and also the last mention of it was in Hebrews. So Metatron has a brotherhood order. There are many orders, but the highest order would be the order of Michael, who is Archangel Michael, that everybody knows about. And then perhaps on almost on an equal level is the order of Melchizedek, which always was and always will be. And even when St. Paul was urging the Pharisees and Sadducees to believe that Jesus was the one that they had been looking for, the Savior they had been looking for. He said he belongs to the order of Melchizedek, which is everlasting.
Let me interrupt you for 1 sec, because we've brought so many important issues, and we need to maybe do some defining of some of these words. So could we just backtrack a little bit and talk about the Merkabah? What is the Merkabah?
All right. Well, let me just finish the where I was before. Melchizedek showed him all these glories, and the Merkabah that he was in, could have been 15 or 20 miles wide, and maybe longer than that. People don't know it, but you see, those ships are in such high dimensions, that is, the heavenly ones, the ones that are of a high order, the big ships do not come down into our atmosphere. Some of the small UFOs that people are chasing around after, whether there are little constants in comparison to the Merkabah, which can be, as I say, even 50 miles long, because they're not concrete. There's nothing concrete in them. They are of a higher, finer substance.
All right, let me just read what it says here. For Merkabah, it says it's a divine light vehicle used by the masters to probe and reach the faithful in the many dimensions of the divine mind. Now, the Merkabah can take on many forms of brilliant briolet in the physical worlds. And then he uses Ezekiel from the Bible, Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 4 through 28, so that people could understand what the Merkabah vehicle is. Does that sound right to you?
That is perfect. Perfect description. But it has no limitations at all. It's done, created by thought or by the mind of these great intellectuals or these great luminaries. And while they do not have any concrete substance to operate in this dimension, they can materialize if they want to. But why should they come down here to be shot at? So they stay away until the time is ripe for them to come, when they will be safe.
Okay, so my understanding then of the Merkabah vehicle is that it is a giant mothership, which is very big. As you said, it can be as big as 50 miles in width alone. And I guess then there are smaller ships that can move out of that and come into our dimension. Is that correct?
That's correct. Absolutely correct. I was fortunate to see a mothership one time. My husband and I were in Borrego Springs. We had a little place there that we were building, and not in the springs, but in Borrego Valley. And it was the summertime when everything was so hot. We went down there to take some lumber, and we had to sleep out on army cots. And we looked up, and this way up, all we could see was a silhouette, but we could see this huge object in the sky, and all the little ones around it, they were going in rhythmically inside, I suppose, to get recharging. And we didn't, my husband was a lawyer and practicing, and he didn't want to make himself look ridiculous, and he didn't want me to either, so we didn't report it. But an officer from Pendleton, Camp Pendleton, a major, saw it at the same time, and he, at a distance of 15 miles and from where we were. So you see this object very, well, not distinctly, but you see its silhouette. And we read it in the papers the next day about this occasion that we watched for 2 hours before we went to speak, because we, our cots were out in the open.
All right, so now that we've cleared up what the Merkabah is, you used another term, and I think we need to understand this too. You said the word Metatron, and according to Hertak, and of course I'm reading some of these from his book, he describes Metatron as the garment of Shaddai, I hope that's the right pronunciation, the visible manifestation of the deity as garment of the Father, Almighty, Eternal Lord, and Divine Voice of the Father. He is the creator of the outer worlds, the teacher and the guide to Enoch, and the creator of the keys, and we want to talk more about what the keys are. He says Metatron is the creator of the electron, and then he uses these illustrations from the Bible once again. He says Genesis 17, verse 1, Genesis 28, verse 3, 43, 14, Numbers, Psalms, and Revelations. So he has a lot of criteria there to use to explain Metatron. Now, I don't remember ever seeing the word Metatron in the Bible. How does he come up with that?
I don't think it is in the Bible. I've thought about that, and I have never seen it. But Metatron is a high archangel. I don't know whether he's ever taken embodiment down here, but Melchizedek did. Melchizedek was king of Salem at the time of Abraham when he came out of Ur, and because the Bible says that he took tithes to King Melchizedek, and he brought his order down, and his order is everlasting, as I mentioned before, and will be broadcast again at the time of the earth changes, which may be 2 years or 5 years or whatever. Nobody knows. It all depends upon the thoughts and vibrations of the people of the planet Earth. Their wholesale forces govern a lot of things that happen on Earth. So we don't know when it is, but there will be an Earth change, but everyone will be in its right place, because everything is in divine right order. We live under a spiritual law, if we allow it, and the spiritual law, it determines things of that nature.
And we are talking specifically today about a book which she teaches, a book by Dr. J.J. Hertak entitled The Keys of Enoch. Now, we're talking a little bit about Melchizedek. I noticed that it says here that Jehovah will prepare the world for deliverance through Melchizedek and the order of Melchizedek. That's a very interesting concept. And that is mentioned, of course, in Hebrews in the Bible. Why do we not hear too much about Melchizedek in the Bible?
Well, that's a big order to answer, but they are all connected. And Melchizedek it is prophesied that Melchizedek will be present here on earth again. And his order was here in the very beginning, before there was a human on this earth, and they established the sacred spots, probably where I'm living now. Their order was here. And at the time of the earth change, many of these artifacts and things that they planted, the crystals especially, will be very revealing at that time, and we'll have a lot of answers that we don't know much about right now.
All right, now I don't want to jump around too much, but there's so much to talk about that I thought we could just talk about a few things. Now, you, of course, are teaching a lot of what's in this book. This book is very interesting. What exactly are the keys?
Well, there are 64 keys, and then there will be There are 54 in the Book of Knowledge that we were talking about, which is the keys of Venus. And there were 10 keys reserved for the last. And it's about time for them to come out. And I think Dr. Hertek does have them arranged, but not published. And he said that he was waiting for the scientific community of the planet Earth to acknowledge and accept what has already been explained in the book before they're ready for this 10 last keys. It must be pretty quick now that they will be out.
All right. Now, in the keys of Enoch, we talk about many, many concepts. Now, of course, the first concept I guess we should get used to is the term Yahweh. Why do we use the word Yahweh?
Well, Yahweh is the one God, and there are no vowels in his name. Y-H-W-H, Yahweh. He is the supreme creator. Of course, he has the Elohim, the principalities and powers, the dominions and the power, and it's taught in almost all.
Now, is the term Jehovah another word for Yahweh, or is this someone else?
Well, they use it interchangeably, but as we understand it, he was a god like Zeus is to the Greeks. He is a tribal god, but most people, I won't say they make the mistake, because it isn't a mistake, because everything is interchangeable of the higher orders, but we consider him a tribal god, Jehovah, who came to a select race of people. They Hebrews, and there's a lot of the in the keys of Enoch about the Israel, but Israel is used to describe the people of God. It's not a race or a nation. In fact, Israel is Ra'el. Means the people of God. So you don't have to belong to any race or tribe or anything like that.
So this concept of, let's say, Jewish and Hebrew is something that has happened later on. Anyone who is following the, let's say, the teachings of Jehovah would be considered to be the children of Israel?
Yes. On the physical plane, yes, but on the higher plane, no, if I understand your question right. The Hebrews were a great race of people that had the word of, and still hold the word of God, but the Jews are just 1/12 of, because according to the teachings, now I didn't get this in the Keys of Enoch, but through my other research, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, had 12 sons, and the Jews are one tribe, and each one of his sons was a tribe, and they are just one tribe, and you see, according to the history, 10 tribes were carried away by Sennacherib and formed the big colony up around the Persian Sea and were isolated there for a century or so. Finally, they got across the river Euphrates, and most of them went into Russia. But the other tribes, there were 3 tribes left after the 10 tribes were carried away, and that was the tribe of Joseph and Benjamin, And so they had their troubles too later by another king that took them in custody and held them for 70 years. And then they were released and were allowed to go back to Jerusalem. That is just from research that I have done. And so the nation of Israel is just from one of those tribes, the tribe of Judah.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about the magazine and what articles you write for them?
Sedona Journal of emerged from another magazine that I wrote articles for about 4 or 5 years. And this one is now international. I've had comments and inquiries from England, from Italy, Poland, and down under. So it does have a wide circulation. I only write the Keys of Enoch or the Ascension process, and of course that emerges from the teaching of the Keys of Enoch or the Book of Knowledge. And I'm most interested in the Ascension process because in later times that Ascension process will take place after the planet goes into a higher orbit, and that may happen within the next 5 years or maybe even sooner, but probably no later than 5 or 10 years at the most.
All right, now we are having a little bit of trouble hearing you, so you'll need to get closer to your telephone. Irish, I would like to, just for our listeners, talk a little bit about the first three keys of Enoch and explain to them a little bit about it. Now, the first key says, we live in a many and one universe. Perhaps you could talk a little bit about that.
Well, that would be a little difficult, I think, for me to explain. Some things you know intuitively, but you can't talk about it in verbal tone terms, and I'm not sure that I could make that clear enough or understandable.
Well, maybe we were just kind of like touching on some of these ideas. The second key, for instance, says the creative mind as the center of this universe as known as Lord, King, and Redeemer. And the third key says, the creations which survive are creations which desire that the species gather life and light into the image and similitude of the higher evolution, which is the living universe. I realize this is very, very deep material, but I wanted people to have an idea as to what some of the keys were.
I don't believe that it could be elaborated on more than what you have already read, because that is, it's almost unexplainable other than the way you read it. It explains itself. There are some parts of this that I don't claim to be absolutely familiar with all of it. It's a very vast book, and the one thing that, being my age, I'm interested in that I could project more is to give an idea of how things will be in the future, and the metaphysical statement, there is no death, is very, very important, especially to me, because there will be an... We were never intended to lose our bodies. So I... When I write these articles, and it's... They're titled the Ascension Process, it means that I'm explaining how this would be possible. And in the Bible it says, fools die for lack of wisdom. Now, it was intended before the fall that we, our bodies, were being the temple of God. We were to keep the bodies holy, too. We are living in a chemical world, and the chemistry, our chemistry can be changed when we raise our consciousness. And when we are able to raise our consciousness high enough and to bring in the light, everything in the higher dimensions and everything direct from the Creator is light. And light and love alone are the ingredients that take us up into the higher octaves. Our planet itself will go into a higher octave, and it's in the process now of going into a higher dimension. And the time will come in the future, which only the keys of Enoch teach that I know of, teaches that the inhabitants on the planet have to be of a higher order, spiritual order, and they have to have had the infusion of light, which they call the Leowesh. The Leowesh light. It's even the particles, the atomic structure changes in the physical body when this light enters and pulsates in there. So eventually this planet will be in itself will undergo a change, and we who are on it have to be live in accordance with the requirements of a higher planet, planetary section. And so we have to be conscious of the light and go through an atomic and cellular structure to be able to continue living in this new creation. Will that help you?
Yeah, so now I guess my understanding then is that one of the reasons that we are all trying to help each other grow is because we cannot move into this completed dimensionality change until everyone has cooperated. Is that correct?
That's correct. You have stated it perfectly. Now, I was talking about the articles that I write. Having been on the earth for quite some time, I've watched the spirituality of the occupants of this planet expand, and I've watched all the new teachings that came along. And first, there was Madame Blavatsky that brought in theosophy, Mary Baker Eddy that brought in Christian Science, and then I'm initiated from Hansa Yogananda. I knew him back in the 30s, and I'm proud to say that he gave me a private initiation, and there's no requirement whatsoever to stay in one religion or another. So that was part of my education. And then I've been into I'm a researcher. And I've been into the Rosicrucian studies. And I am. And then, of course, when I was interested in yoga, I studied four or five different kinds of yoga. There's the Kriya Yoga, which he teaches probably, is the highest of all because it includes all the higher teachings of each one, like the Hatha Yoga, the asanas, and the positions that you get in to raise your body. And then a Tibetan yoga that I was interested in too also was the sort of the Hatha yoga. So I have been a researcher more than anything else, and when I got into the Keys of Enoch, it seemed to contain all the various truths that I found in each one of the others. So that's the reason I've stayed with it, because I studied Swedenborg too for many, many years because my husband was a Swedenborgian, and we went to Sweden to see where he used the law for the king of Sweden the tombs are, and he is buried there among the kings of Sweden. So my knowledge has come from a variety of other teachings in which I think has allowed me to discriminate and evaluate what is in the Keys of Enoch. And he's rightly designated as the Book of Knowledge. And I was amazed to find all the truths of all the research that I've done in the past printed there in that book. So I highly recommend it. You can tell from what you've just been listening to that it contains not only the present but also a blueprint of the future.
Now, one of the questions that I had was, can we have an understanding, or do you have a way that you can explain to us, what is the Adam Kadmon? Now, for those of you who are listening, it's spelled A-D-A-M, but the second word, Kadmon, or Kadmon, K-A-D-M-O-N, you could correct me if I mispronounced it, but what is the Adam Kadmon?
The Adam Kadmon is the blueprint of the perfect man that we were originally and will become. It's a perfect type, it's a perfection of, for example, there is no particular one that you can describe as being embodying it, but it's the blueprint or pattern that we are to be.
So my understanding then of the Adam Kadmon is that when we are changing our frequencies and moving to our highest potential, is that what we finally become, the actual blueprint that we were in the beginning?
That is right. At least that's the way I understand it. And I don't think we could aspire for anything higher than to become the Adam Kadmon.
All right, now in the fourth key, Hertak tells us that the keys to the living biophysical and astrophysical universe are the living light pyramids of life. They exist within every structure, within every field of creation. And then he goes on to say, if you were to look at blood crystals under an electron microscope, you can find the shape of the pyramidal field in the crystal forms of blood. What he is saying, though, over and over again, is that even a close examination of pyramidal units in hydrogen atoms reveal the geometry of the Star of David as a life-giving form. He's saying over and over again that this pyramid of light, this pyramidal structure, is central to all of the biophysical and consciousness evolution. What is your understanding of that?
That's just exactly what you've already read. It is self-explanatory. And we are chemical beings now. We have, our blood is crystalline. If you see a drop of blood and it's dried, it comes into crystal. You see, so we have the higher potential. And you have just read what the blueprint is. But we can elevate what we already consist of. We can elevate that to its highest potential, and then you would become that Adam Kadmon. And that's what perfection will, it is perfection, and that is what we aspire for. Kurtak says that we are doomed to perfection. And while we can't imagine that now in the state we're in, but as we go higher and higher and we become more light beings, because we copy the Brotherhood, and they are light. They have no ponderosity normally, but they can materialize. There is no limit to what they can do, and we will be like them and the Adam Kadmon, and that is what we aspire for, too.
Now, just to review, he also says that when you are looking at the shape of the pyramidal field, you are also seeing the Merkabah, which connects the key pyramids so that light can be used. How is that possible?
Well, it isn't possible for us to comprehend it, but not with our physical senses. But you see, I haven't explained the five other bodies we have, or sheaths. And we have the electromagnetic, the epikinetic, and the ecobody, the one that you use when you go out in the dreams, and then the gematrian body, the body of inner light, and the Zohar body of the outer light. And we have, through neglect, lost track of our higher self. And we have to come back and arouse those bodies. They're connected with, each one is connected with a certain dimension. And that way we can ascertain things beyond our comprehension now with these bodies. And though, when we reactivate those bodies, you will just become conscious of something outside of yourself, and then you suddenly realize that you couldn't have known that through your ordinary five physical senses. It's your spiritual self, it's your over-self that has to come unite with your physical mind.
Could we just take a moment and go over those again? There was the electromagnetic, is that correct?
Yes.
Now, what was the next one?
Epikinetic.
How do you spell that? Do you know?
P-I-K-E-N-E-T-I-C. E-T-I-C. You can find those in the glossary. All of them are epikinetic, and then Eka, E-K-K-A, I believe, or E-K-A. And then the Gematrian, G-A-M-A-T-R-I-A-N. That's a body of inner life, and the Zohar body of outer life. Now, I haven't told you this, and maybe you aren't aware of it. In the excluded books of the Bible, there was a portion that was called the, something of Eden. And in that book, which I have had for 40 years.
Could you repeat the name of it again?
The Secrets of Enoch. Enoch played a big role in the beginning of our teachings on before Christianity. And he was taken up in the heavens, just like Hurkak was, and was told to write them. Of course, they didn't have the same kind of material to write on them. They were scripts. But those scripts were read in the temples of Palestine up until the time of Jesus. And when Constantine had the Bible, put the Bible together, they had to exclude great portions of these things, and that was not included. So we have been bereft of some of the teachings that was available before Christianity. So I had read those Secrets of Enoch, and he told about these up to 10 levels. So I asked, the first time I had a chance to talk to Dr. Hurkak, I said, what part did the Secrets of the Enoch play that are extant now? And he said, it gave me courage to know that what Enoch could do as a human, others could do too. And that explains why it was Enoch who came and took him and showed him all the traces of heaven.
We are running out of time. This really went quickly today, and I hope we can do this again. If you had a few words for our listeners, I'd sure appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate your giving me the opportunity. I've enjoyed it very much, and I hope that I can clarify some of the things that people have been wondering about. Thank you very much.
All right. What an unbelievably beautiful woman. What a nice way to start a day. This is Bruce Stephen Holmes. Thank you all for tuning in Timeless Voyager Radio. I hope that your own personal voyage through life towards development of your highest potential is a joyous and successful one.
Oh.